And the infield coach did that too. Yeah.
Go back.
Fighting this one off, a fly ball shallow right field, drops in for a hit. Pirates take the lead. Spencer Horowitz fights off the fastball, 95 miles an hour, an 0-2 pitch, and drops it into shallow right near the line. By the time McKinstry got to it, Hayes scoring easily, and on to third goes Kiner Falefa. Pirates lead 1-0. Here's a 1-2 pitch from Flaherty. And a fly ball toward the line in right field. Long run and drops in for a base hit. This will score a couple. Brian Reynolds delivers a two-run single to right, bringing home Kiner Falefa and Horowitz. McCutchen to third. Pirates lead 3-0 in the second inning. League swing and a miss. Struck him out 99 miles an hour. 132 strikeouts on the year for Skeen. 0-2. Bednar's pitch. Oh, he just froze him with a curveball for the strikeout and a raising of the Jolly Roger. David Bednar's save streak continues. And the Pirates shut out the Detroit Tigers as they raise this Jolly Roger on a Monday night and give Paul Skeens his fifth win of the year.
First win in a long time for Paul Skeens. He didn't exactly get a lot of run support, three runs. But when he's pitching, that's normally more than enough. Although lately when he's out there, he gets one or two, and he's normally in a no-decision game. Good morning, everyone. Bob Pompiani in along with Austin Bechtel. Joe is somewhere probably playing golf, not sure. But we're here to talk to you today until 2 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Off the Top is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what we have today's show. We're going to get into that Pirates game and also look ahead 10 days until the trade deadline. And that's going to be heating up, and I'm sure, Austin, you talked a lot about that yesterday, because the Pirates will be sellers. The question is, how much will they sell, what do they have to sell, and what will they get for the sale?
That was the first win for Paul Skeens, Bob, since May 28th.
That's what I mean.
May 28th.
And he's during that time, he's had like a 1.92 ERA in the games he's pitched.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Skeens yesterday, but mainly Mitch Keller. I had Noah Hiles on, and he said, I think Mitch Keller is going to get traded. He is the best pitcher available on the market. He seems pretty adamant. Now, there's other people that think otherwise, like Jason Mackey doesn't think Keller's going to go. But Noah, who's very plugged in, probably the most plugged in on the beat right now of anybody, he thinks Keller's going to go. So your fingers, Ben Charrington gets a decent return.
If you had someone in that GM role who was doing a good job with what he got in trade returns, I would be more optimistic that that could bring a haul.
Oh, no
doubt.
Should.
There are a lot of teams that are in the running here, and it's really a seller's market. When you look at all the teams that need one pitcher, man, there are like nine of them, and they're all in contention for something. So that should elevate the return. But since, you know, Ben Charrington has made trades before, and since we've had to look at those trades, we've seen that he has not gotten the best out of the deal, and he is oftentimes, you know, lacking in terms of what he got. They can't afford to be lacking in this deal. If they're going to trade Mitch Keller, and I don't know that I would do it right now because of what I just said, I still think they have 3 years. They could do this whole thing back again next year. You know, there's a lot of stuff they can do. He's an important part of the rotation. I just don't know what the result will look like, and I don't know if I trust him to make that result.
It's like those vendors, Bob, that go around and they sell T-shirts in like the parking lots before games, and they're like, $20 for a T-shirt, $20, and some guy comes up to him and says, I have $3. How could I get a T-shirt? And he says, okay. That's basically the deals that Ben Charrington has made. Accepting the $3 when he should be accepting what his players are actually valued at, like the Starling Marte trade. I think back to the Gerrit Cole trade when the old administration did that. All types of moves where they haven't been able to get key results.
And as a result, they don't have a lot in their system with regards to talent for offensive side of the plate. And that's a problem. It's been a problem all season long. So your gut will tell you that you want to trade him, or you're like I have apprehensions because of his track record.
Yeah, I would rather keep Keller, build around Keller, and trade Bednar Santana. I'd rather trade from a surplus in the bullpen. And like if I can move off of Ashcraft, if I could trade Burroughs, if somebody wants one of those guys because Chandler, Barco, Harrington can fill in for them, I would be okay with it. But Skeens and Keller, I like at the top of the rotation with Jones coming back next year and ideally what Chandler's going to become. But if the only way to acquire that big fish is dealing Mitch Keller, you just have to be okay with it. I'm just not with who's making the deal.
Well, we'll see. If Mitch Keller's not here, it better bring in a pretty good haul. And I say that knowing that there are so many teams out there interested. As far as last night is concerned, man, Skeen shows you all sorts of stuff. That is one of the best hitting teams the Detroit Tigers have in baseball. And they had a long night Sunday night. They were playing on Sunday Night Football down in Texas, had a fly. And the worst thing you want to see after a short night and get right back to it is Paul Skeens on the mound.
Yeah.
And he mixed his pitches beautifully. He rode his fastball to several swings and misses. And when he's on with that and when he locates it in the right spot, you know, you have to respect the other pitches that he has. You may expect them coming at some point, but they didn't come. He relied on that heater, and he really did heat him up.
It was the most swings and misses that Skeens had all season long on the fastball. And a lot of it is because he was elevating it. And Brault was talking about this on the postgame show yesterday with Jordy Mercer, and just the location of where he was able to blow it by hitters and even get chases outside of the zone. Because, I mean, Detroit has, what, 3 All-Stars in their lineup?
Yeah.
And Torkelson's and having a good season.
Riley Green can light it up. He's had a great season, followed by Torkelson. They got a lot of good players. The thing about their team is that they have a great farm system, too. At least it's rated highly. They have 2 other guys ready to come up here.
Yeah, Max Clarkson.
They're only going to get better, you would think. But they've done the right job with how they've acquired this talent, and that's the thing that's been lacking here. So, you know, I wouldn't. You know, I see this stuff about Cabrian Hayes that they went move him again. What would you get? I don't know that it's going to be anything big that would help you. You would remove his salary, which is, you know, modest actually, like $7 million a year. If they have to run away from $7 million a year, then they're in trouble. I would if I did this the right way. And if I did make a case to trade Mitch Keller, it would be this way. Okay, we'll trade him. He has 3 years left on a contract at a very reasonable price. I think any team would want that price. Fixed in, you don't have to worry about it for 3 more years. Therefore, I'm getting more because of that component of the trade all by itself. Then what he's been able to do with going into, you know, fifth and sixth innings almost every time he's out there and a very nice ERA, I would expect teams to give me a lot for that. That's that. If you're missing a starting pitcher at this juncture of the season and you have, you know, World Series aspirations, this is your time to make a move. So I would expect them to get a big haul, and then by saving the money, I would also expect, but of course it won't happen, that they'll go in the offseason and spend that money they saved in Mitch Keller and put it into good use for offense on top of what they already received.
Sure. I mean, we might just talk ourselves blue in the face until that actually happens.
I agree, but I mean, That's where they are.
So John Heyman put out there, I think this was Sunday morning, Yankees have been in regular contact with the Pirates, who have a few players interested for the Yankees. And he includes Hayes, Bednar, Santana, Keller, IKF. Can we interest you in all the above, apparently?
Yeah, just have a buy one, get 6 free. You know, just take whoever you want.
Who do you want back in return?
Well, I don't know. All
Stanton,
I know
is he coming back in return?
One on
with
one.
Six
what
guys?
Are you going to get for IKF, all due respect? What are you going to get for him? Not much. What are you going to get? You know, Santana's a good pitcher. I'd rather keep him here, to be honest. But I don't know what teams are like and what they're willing to give up. If it's not much, I'm not just going to make a whole bunch of trades just because and make it look like I'm doing something to try to help this team. It's got to be concrete offense. And if they don't get it, then they're going to have to find it in free agency, and I don't hold my breath.
So Joe and I had a big debate last week that when you trade Cabrian Hayes, do you think you can actually get something for Cabrian Hayes? Because I think if you trade him to a club like the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, you know, someone like that, Cubs, they would be okay just taking that $7 million, where that might mean a lot to the Pirates, but it doesn't mean nearly as much to them.
Yeah, but what do you get in return? It's always going to come back to that.
I'd be fine. Basically, it's been treated as if trading Cabrian Hayes is just a huge salary dump that you're going to have to attach other people to get rid of, like that Liriano contract. And with the defensive value, I just don't know if that's the case. I feel like you could probably get a bullpen arm, maybe somebody like the caliber of Isaac Madsen, that you could call up that might be in AAA or might be somebody that's had some big league experience but minimal and just needs another opportunity that could end up flourish with that chance. And they've done well at identifying bullpen arms.
Sure they have, but they haven't done well identifying offensive bats. And until that changes, it doesn't matter how many bullpen arms they have. And that's the whole problem here. They've miscalculated what they have in their system. If you trade Cabrian Hayes, who's you going to put Triolo in his 190 batting average over? What are you going to do? I mean, at some point they have to figure out a way to get bats in this lineup. They just don't have enough, and until they get creative, they're not going to have enough. And I don't. Again, I'm not holding my breath on this trade deadline. It may be silent. Maybe they're going to get a point where they just say, "We don't, you know, we'll stand pat. Or maybe Bob Nutting will say, hey, I'm not trade. You're not going to trade Mitch Keller. He may interject some. Because I don't know if Ben Cherington is absolutely committed to next year here. Probably is at this point, and I think that's a mistake. But if that's how they're going to do it, then he may not have the latitude to make these kind of trades. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee, and they get money for you. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. We want to invite you into this part of the conversation, of course, at 412-928-9370. That's the hotline number. What do you think will happen with Mitch Keller at 412-928-9370? Also, I want to talk about the Steelers because tomorrow it all starts. After all this talking we've done here, Austin, it finally actually goes to the field. Now, tomorrow won't be much other than reporting day. But, man, you talk about a team that has 1,000 storylines that I don't think many of us thought would happen back in April or March, and here they are. And I'll give them credit for being aggressive. This is very unusual for them to go out and do what they've done. And they've done it without creating any future risk of losing those draft picks so far or anybody else key to their future. But the question is, what do you expect out of a 41, soon-to-be 42-year-old quarterback? History suggests not much for guys who've done it. If you take Tom Brady away from all of this, who has been productive at age 42 in the NFL at quarterback? Was Drew Brees 42 when it happened? I don't know how old he was.
No, he wasn't very productive that final year either.
No, but that's my point. That's a tough thing to ask. Now, can he buck the odds? Do you think he will buck the odds?
I think he's got a possibility to throw about 25 touchdowns, and as long as he takes care of the ball, be able to take them to 10-7 and potentially a playoff win, yeah. Like, I think we should consider that Aaron Rodgers is a four-time MVP. He's a little bit built different than a lot of other players, even the Drew Breeses of the world. He's not Tom Brady, no. Nobody's trying to claim that he is. But he's also somebody who I think still has very good arm strength. So as long as he's protected, and that's going to fall on Broderick Jones and Troy Faltano to be able to do, if they can protect him, I think he's got a shot.
I think the offensive line is a concern, not so much the starters, although I do think Broderick Jones is going to be under the microscope, as he should be. This is his first time playing left tackle. That's the position he was born to play. And then you have someone who hasn't played a full season, although what we saw last year from him was encouraging. I think Troy Faltano will be just fine over there. But again, you got to go out and do it. Behind all of these guys, there's not much in terms of depth, at least not experienced depth. You know, you have Cook, who's been around forever. He's the backup left tackle, I think, at this point. Injuries always play a key when you're assessing what's going on here. But we're going to take a look at what we got from the Steelers position by position as we go along in this broadcast. Want to hear from you on that as well at 412-928-9370. But right now, let's go to the hotline, and we have somebody on there who wants to talk about trade possibilities.
Here is Rick. He's in Wisconsin.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to have you back.
Oh, hey, thank you. But I'm going to be gone again soon, so I have a little bit more vacation coming up until I. That's right, baby.
Yeah, I'll be tuning in a lot because Steelers camp is starting up, so I want to get all the lowdown. So, listen, you know, when I was a kid back in the 80s, and my favorite player was Tony Pena. And the day Tony Pena got traded, it totally broke my heart. But if you remember, for Tony Pena, they got Andy Van Slyke, Mike LeVayer, and Mike Dunn. And
yes.
I think also Don Slott. I think they also somehow acquired Don Slott.
That was a separate deal, though, I think. But you're right. Pena was a popular guy here. And sometimes in order to do it, you have to make that commitment to do it. And the return was big.
Right.
Van Slyke specific.
I think the Pirates are in that same spot. They're going to have to move someone big to get, you know, players like that. I don't know if the landscape is similar to what it was back then, but to get something, you got to give something.
So who are you saying? You're saying trade Keller then? That's your take on that, Rick?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking Keller and also Brian
Reynolds.
Brian Reynolds, yeah. I mean, you're gonna have to make a big move here, and the Pirates obviously need something. They need a change. They need to get rid of that losing mentality. And I think a lot of it is it's the players, but it's also the mentality. We need to bring some people in here that have a kind of a panache for winning instead of being comfortable with these losing.
Yeah, no, I get it. Reynolds to me with 5 years signed, you know, I don't They need offense. If you trade him, he's been one of your more productive offensive guys. So that's a little bit of a conundrum. But this all is predicated on what they need to make themselves a team that can contend while Paul Skeens is here. And because of that, I'm not trading Brian Reynolds. Instead, I'm trying to just – I'm going to go back to free agency. This should be a different offseason than it was last year. If Bob Nutting refuses to spend money this offseason, then you know, and I think most of us do suspect, but you will then know that profit is better than production. Because that's Absolutely. Pretty much what that says. You have a chance still with this guy here heading your rotation, once-in-a-lifetime kind of generational pitcher to do something with it. And if you don't, then you'll know his intentions.
Great. Hey, Bob, real quick before you go. That power team from the 90s, I was trying to remember, how did the Pirates get Bonilla? Was he a homegrown guy or was he a trade?
I think he was acquired. I got to double check on that. But I think once he was acquired, they developed him into what he was. I will check on that, Rick.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's keep it rolling. By the way, Limits or Austin? I like to call you Austin.
I'm good with it, Bob. Austin? I'm good with it. You can mix it around, too, if you'd like.
I'll play a Joe Starkey. Limits, do you like my hat?
I do like your hat, Bob.
It's not Santa Claus, if you're watching on YouTube.
Is that a John Daly hat?
John Daly. It's a grip it, rip it, and now grip it and sip it. He is pushing a vodka, which is really good. It's one of those in a can, like Surfside. It's called Good Boy.
Good Boy.
Yeah.
Were you there with John Daly in Scotland on your trip?
No, he wasn't there. But I saw him the week before then, and... that product's pretty good, by the way, if you like those kind of drinks. You know?
I saw you send him a message about a shot you had. Golfed pretty well, huh, Bob?
I did golf pretty well. I'll talk more about that. Not that I want to spend too much time on it, but who we got on the line now?
Congratulations on all your success. Let's go to JD in Baldwin.
JD, what's up?
Bob, how are you? Welcome back from Scotland, chiming in on the Mitch Keller trade.
Yes, sir.
I, for one, would like to see Keller stay, but my concern is, and I'm sure other listeners are thinking the same thing, isn't Keller making like $15 million a year, which
I think 17.
Well, that's not big money for a lot of teams, but we've seen the Pirates do this before. I just hope that they're not going to shed that contract and trade him for whether it be prospects or maybe a bat that kind of looks like it would help the offense. That's my worry. I mean, I'd like to see other trades get made and Keller stay. I'm just afraid he's going to be the...
Here's the question, JD, and Limits. Both of you, like, if you look at this team, we believe they have pitching depth. Do we really know they have pitching depth? Or are we just suspecting that these guys are all going to turn out to be good players? Like, Mike Burrows has shown some things. I think Braxton Ashcraft has shown some things. You know, Oviedo's down there. Yeah, they got a lot of guys. But do you believe that depth will actually, come to the surface here when it plays in big-time baseball and be the kind of pitcher you want them to be? If you're sure of that... and they have to be sure of it if they're going to make a deal, then you trade Mitch Keller. If you're not sure of that, then you don't. Because you have Skeens, Keller. If you put Chandler into there with anybody else, you have, again, next year, a very formidable rotation that would help itself just to go out and spend some free agent money on bats. That's
right now, it's all potential, and that's hard to judge.
Yeah. All right, JD, thanks for the call. Do you you feel strongly about it? Because I don't in terms of, I think, potentially. Again, this word potential is one that I hate to use in baseball. We use it all the time because we've seen people come here and fail over and over again based on potential, but it never equals the production that you would expect from the potential.
That was a very difficult fine line for them because, sure, Barco might come up and be good, and Harrington in his short stretch wasn't that good, but he still has some potential. He's a Quinn Priester type of pitcher, and as you can see in Milwaukee now, Quinn Priester is pitching pretty well. So the talent is there as long as you find a way to be able to get it out of him. So they do have depth, yes, but I think, and I've been pretty firm on this, I think that we've overstated their depth a little bit because ultimately if Keller goes, Heaney's going to go, and this team has stayed relatively healthy other than Jared Jones. Like Oviedo was hurt last year. He's still not back yet. Jones is going to miss half of next season. You trade from the very top of that depth, that's when you're really going to be able to see the effects.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's coming up in 10 days. Let's go out to Rob in West Mifflin, who joins us right now talking about Pirates and their deadline. The deadline is coming. Rob, what do you do?
Bob, listen, man. The bottom line is if everybody keeps saying that he doesn't want to win, you cannot trade Mitch Keller if you're trying to win. He's a proven arm. These guys are just question marks. They're question marks. Nobody, how many quality starts does any of those guys have? That's what I want to know. How many quality starts does Burrows have? Any of them.
Right. I mean, they're still a works in progress. I don't think there's any denying that. And that's what you have. So if you think it is going to blossom, then you'll probably make a trade. If you don't, I wouldn't.
I'm not a trade Mitch Keller, man. I'm just not going to do it. You got to go out and spend some money, get your bat, trade, package Bednar, IKF, put something together and get your bat. I'm not trading no starting pitching. I'm not going with no question. These guys are question marks down there. Nobody knows what they're going to do when they get in the major leagues.
Well, and there are plenty of examples, Rob, to support your argument. We've seen it from players that they've acquired here, and where are they? Are they even close to being up here? And the answer is no. We heard so much about Tamar Johnson. He wasn't a trade acquisition. He was a draft pick, but he seemed to have regressed here in the last 3 months. My point is, they're at a point with, and again, I preface this all by saying Paul Skeens is the centerpiece. You're trying to win before he leaves here. If you have any shot to do it, it's got to happen in the next 2 years. So everything that you do should be based on that. And if you trade Mitch Keller, you're hurting your starting pitching staff in the hopes that one of these guys becomes what you think he should become. But in the past, we've seen they don't become what you think they're going to become.
That's my point right there, man. Everybody, trade Mitch Keller and get you a bat. Come on, man. Are you serious?
Well, they should be in the driver's seat. Thanks, Rob, for that. Limits, I'll ask you this. Where do you think they can get the most in return for Mitch Keller? If they end up trading him, would it be now or would it be after the season when you have the full offseason to think about it?
I think it would be now because in season, and I compare it to Ricard Raquel a little bit, where now it seems like the Penguins are a little bit hands-off because they're not getting the return that they want. Teams are desperate in the middle of the season when they're in a pennant race.
The only thing about that is they also have people that they want and they're not willing to part with because they are in a pennant race.
Right.
So you may want somebody on their roster who's off limits now, but once the season is over, he may be on limits again, using limits as the word.
Yes. I just feel like that desperation is just such a factor. Like it was with the Archer trade. There's been so many trades where we've seen that have come down to the very end of the deadline where it was, we need that final piece to push us over the top. And if some team thinks that Mitch Keller is that guy and is willing to overpay, I think it's more likely now than it would be then.
Describe
just
overpay.
Reasons.
What would be overpay to you?
Well, they need to find a way to be able to get two bats out of this, I think.
Prospect bats who are number 5 and 7 in their food chain, right?
No.
You're talking about legitimate people who have been up here to some degree.
We're talking about either they've been up here for a year or so, similar to Horwitz, but with a higher profile than Spencer Horwitz, and probably another prospect that ranks in their top three in a highly regarded system. Like the Yankees system, they have like one top 100 guy. If you're a system that has no top 100 guys, it's completely different when you're taking a look at, well, this guy's organization one, this guy's organizational two, compared to like the Orioles who have had a very deep farm system or the Dodgers who have a very deep farm system, teams like that.
Yeah, those teams always do it right. They spend the money, but they still have deep farm systems, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And the Dodgers, look at it every year. Every year, their farm system is still up there in the top 10.
All right, getting back to Rick who asked about Bobby Bonilla. He was actually with the Mets, I think, at some point before. I'm not sure how it all worked. I got to go back and look at his history because he, I don't think he was here. He was the White Sox, maybe. I can't remember. I got to look back and see where he is. But once he got to Pittsburgh, that's where his career flourished. But he wasn't somebody who the Pirates drafted. 412-928-9370. How about we go one more before we go to break? Who do we got?
All right, let's go to John in Cranberry.
Hello, John. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How are you? So a little Bobby Bonilla history. So Bonilla was drafted by the Pirates, but then in Rule 5, the White Sox took him.
I knew it was the White Sox because the White Sox had him for a while, right?
Yeah, and then what happened was Sid Thrift, he wasn't happy in Chicago, so Sid Thrift got him back in a trade with Jose De Leon, and that's how he ended up on the Pirates. So a little bit of Bonilla. Has anyone
appreciate
on,
that.
Signed
thanks.
The greatest contract in baseball history.
Yeah, well, Rick DiPietro has the best in NHL history, too, where he's still getting paid.
So my quick thing, you mentioned Cherington. So we all know there's, everyone's screaming about Cherington, and I'm for him not coming back. But when I look at what he's done, you're right. The nucleus pitching is there, but I don't know if you guys have seen. Chandler has struggled. Harrington has struggled. There's not a lot. There's no guarantee these guys are going to pan out, number one. But my feeling is I really think they need to make a change, and I think they will. I think they're going to go to another GM. And Matt Arnold, is the example I want to use. You see Milwaukee's in first place now.
They won like 11 in a row, too. And they're doing it with a budget that should be where the Pirates are minimum.
That's what they need to find. They need somebody.
Well, the Pirates had a chance to hire Matt Arnold, didn't they?
It was between him and Ben.
Yeah.
And they took Ben. So that's the thing. But anyway.
But you also have to have an owner. Let's just preface this, as we all know. It doesn't matter. If you're Matt Arnold coming here and you're told you only have so much that you can spend, you may have the same outcome as Ben Cherington, although I think it might be a little bit different. GMs do matter in terms of player acquisition. You got to have a coaching staff that develops. But before any of that happens, you have to owner has to be willing to spend money when he has to spend money.
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointment with Ben, too, no international signings. Look at Jackson Churio. Look what the Brewers did. They committed to him early, even before he was good. That's the decisions you have to make in a small market. But thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, John, thank you for the Bonilla information. That's right. So Sid Thrift made a nice move. Yeah, I remember him with the White Sox, but I couldn't remember if he was drafted. So Pirates drafted him. Rule 5 claimed by Chicago, and then he goes back after and makes a deal, and then he comes here and things happen. And not only that, he was front and center to that success they had. It's a shame they didn't win a playoff series back then with all those 3 years.
That's hard to believe.
But that it was all different. The only way you can get in is win your division. And so all this wild card stuff didn't exist.
There were only two divisions.
Yeah, so you immediately go to, playoff there. If you win that series, you go to the – it's difficult to do. It was difficult to do, but they had a great unit.